Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My name's Ruben Nava. My partner's Jesse Romero. We are here to give you some a briefing. We're both actually ex-cops, retired cops, and we're just giving you some blue-collar soul patrol, Jesse. That's what it
Amen.
Is.
Amen. That's right. 10 for Jesus, 10-8 for the Blessed Virgin Mary.
That's right.
On duty. We're always on duty, Ruben, to save help people love God, save souls, and slay error.
That's right. So not only do we take the oath to defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic, we got enemies that are inside the church and outside, and bringing people back to the church. So that's another mission. That's our new calling.
That's right. Ruben, there's a great priest out there. His name's Father Michael Orsi. He's out in the Diocese of Florida. I forget which parish he's at.
He said he was at the Diocese of Camden, New Jersey. Now he's the parochial vicar at St. Agnes Parish in Naples, Florida.
Got it. This priest continues giving incredible homilies. This man is a culture warrior. He knows how to mix the gospel with the culture and give relevant homilies. I'd like you all to hear a homily that he gave, and the title of it's called Any Bishop or Cardinal Who Praises Biden as Catholic is a Wolf in Shepherd's Clothing. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
Love it.
Repent and believe in the gospel. We are living in a very precarious time in our country. The President of the United States is in need of repenting. But so too are some of the bishops and cardinals in our own country and in the Vatican itself. Let me tell you what happened this past week. Aside from the inauguration, President Biden began to implement some of the promises he made during the campaign. And one of those promises had to do with providing unlimited abortion. One of the first things he did was to rejoin WHO, the World Health Organization, part of the United Nations. WHO is one of the biggest providers of international abortion. When asked about the Mexico City policy, which states that no government money should go to provide abortion throughout the world, his press secretary said that decision will come in a few days. Also at stake is the Hyde Amendment. The Hyde Amendment says that no federal money should be spent on abortion in this country, and there will be an attempt to overturn the Hyde Amendment. Amazingly, some of the American bishops in the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops decided that perhaps it was time to respond to the president's very liberal and over-the-top abortion policies. Must have come as a great shock to them as to what he was going to do. He talked about it throughout the campaign, but as some say, better late than never. And Archbishop Gomez, the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, the Archbishop of Los Angeles, wrote a beautiful pastoral letter expressing the concerns of the Catholic bishops regarding President Biden's stance on unlimited abortion. A few of the cardinals in this country thought that the letter should not be published and appealed to the Vatican for fear that if it were to be published, it might inhibit some of the further negotiations that the Vatican wanted to have with the Biden administration. And so, the pastoral letter was squelched. But it got worse. Friday was the 48th anniversary of that dastardly, despicable, and illegal Supreme Court ruling called Roe v. Wade, which said that abortion was a legal right in the United States. And at that time, President Biden released a statement. And he talked about providing unlimited health care for all women. That's what we call euphemism. Euphemism. It means you're using code language. And he went so far as to say that he would have this unlimited health care codified into law. Codified means that you use precedent, you make it a law, a federal law, and therefore even the states that have placed limitations on abortion regarding time and place, those laws would be null and void. That is what you call rubbing salt into the wound. In the meantime, the president touts himself being a devout Catholic and even claims to have a picture of Pope Francis on his desk. And of course, the media just loves it. Why? Because then they too can promote the narrative. Devout Catholic, if he says it's good, it must be good. Even the Catholic Church agrees. Why? Why are the bishops, some of the bishops, some of the cardinals, some of those in the Vatican so willing to allow this lie to be perpetrated on the American people and literally on the people of the world? Let me give you some of the reasons. First reason, it comes under the category of we need to dialogue. Whenever you hear that term, be careful. Exactly what does to dialogue mean? Well, the bishops and cardinals said, well, Rome and the bishops need to dialogue with the Biden administration. But dialogue means what? It means that not only are you going to listen to each other, but dialogue means that you can come to some kind of a, perhaps a common ground, negotiate a deal. There can be no negotiations, there can be no deal when it comes to abortion and the sanctity of human life from conception until natural death. And I ask you, When has there ever been a compromise with the pro-choice, pro-death left wing who demands that abortion be an unlimited right of every woman? Compromise? Dialogue? We've gone from 1973 permission of abortion to partial birth abortion to infanticide. Killing a baby even after the baby is born. And then the mother and the doctor can decide whether or not the baby should live. That is the fruit of dialogue. Second point is the concern for the delivery of services. Many feel that perhaps we should be a little more quiet about abortion because we can negotiate for other things, other services that we think are important, or other programs, or other policies. So people will say, well, we like the president's idea about immigration reform. Or we can agree somewhat to his concern for the environment. I'm not saying they're unimportant, but how you handle those issues is a policy issue, and that is debatable. How do you come to a policy or program that works and is good for those people who are anxious to come into our country or to stay in our country, or to those people who are concerned about global warming? Those issues are not issues that are intrinsically evil. Abortion is intrinsically evil. And you cannot compare apples and oranges. And so don't be duped into believing that we can negotiate the truth for some things that they may or may not be true, or may have different ways of solving the problem. There is no way of unkilling a baby. Delivering services. And the last lie has to do with secularism, the term that I'm sure you've heard before. It's a worldly view. It's a worldly view. We have to all try to get along with the rest of the world. We have the elites in the UN. The International Monetary Fund. And these people can work together with religious organizations and show us a better way to live. These organizations are secular organizations. They are not religious organizations, and they are not guided by gospel principles. As a matter of fact, oftentimes, they are guided by principles which are antithetical to what the gospel proclaims. The gospel says this today: repent, repent, and follow me. Repent, and hear the good news. Repent, and believe in the gospel. It doesn't say repent and follow the lead of the United Nations. As we said earlier, The White House and the media are anxious to portray President Biden as a devout Catholic. He is not a devout Catholic. And any bishop or cardinal or priest who tries to buy into that lie, who gives truth to that lie, is a wolf in shepherd's clothing. God love you.
God bless this incredible priest, Father Michael Orsi. He's a priest of the Diocese of Naples, Florida, St. Agnes Parish. Reuben, this priest has what you call apostolic courage, and that's exactly what we need today. This is a priest that's willing to, the way he's talking, he's putting it all on the line, his priesthood, everything, his vocation on the line for the Lord Jesus Christ. This guy realizes what very few people realize, even in our church today, that heaven is our true home. Here, as the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we have no lasting city. We seek one which is to come. He realizes that as beautiful as Florida is, Florida is not home. Heaven is our home, and we are the church militant, and we are called to fight the good fight of faith until the Lord calls us home and we drop dead. And we are in a battle right now, Reuben. The battle that we're fighting right now is secular humanist socialist thought versus a biblical worldview, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's exactly where we're at right now.
Jess, we're here to promote the perennial teachings of the church. The earliest surviving written catechism is the Didache, or the teaching of the 12 apostles, which dates back to the late first century. And it says in that, you shall not murder, you shall not procure an abortion, nor destroy a newborn child. And even in the year 197, Tertullian wrote in his Apologeticas, he said, for us Christians, murder is once and for all forbidden. So even the child in the womb, while yet the mother's blood is still being drawn on to form the human being, is not lawful for us to destroy. To forbid birth is only quicker murder. It makes no difference whether one takes away the life once born or destroys it as it comes to birth. He is a man who is to be a man. The fruit is always present in the seed.
And here's, you know, as a Catholic, since Joe Biden's a Catholic, I look at him with Catholic filters, with Catholic, using Catholic criteria. Our Lord Jesus Christ says in the Gospels, he says, if a man can't be trusted in little things, then he can't be trusted in greater things. And then he also says, if a man can be trusted in little things, Jesus says, I will give him greater things as well later on. And so if a person, an individual baptized Catholic, does not know the difference between having a baby and killing a baby, if a person's mind is so morally deformed and morally darkened that he doesn't understand what the fifth commandment means, thou shalt not murder, if he's going to be wrong on the micro things, if you give him more power, he's going to also be wrong on the macro things. And I'll tell you, I'm going to use Venerable Fulton Sheen's criteria here, Reuben. Venerable Fulton Sheen says, there's a difference between a bad man and a wicked man or an evil man. He says a bad man does stuff that's individually bad to himself, you know, drinks a lot, doesn't work, you know, uses bad words, watches pornography, has a disordered interior life. That's a bad man. Mm-hmm. Fulton Sheen says a wicked man is somebody who's a bad man in himself, but he takes his bad, disordered lifestyle, and now he has power, and he maximizes damage. Joe Biden is not a bad man. He's a wicked man.
Yep. I totally agree, Jesse. And, you know, by their fruits, you shall know them. And for 47 years, he's been, he hasn't always been this left, but he's given into the culture, and doesn't have any spine. And
because he was a classical liberal for many years, just a little bit to the left of center. Now, Reuben, he's a leftist.
Oh, yeah. He's completely abandoned his faith, Jesse. He's put politics and love of money, because, you know, we now know he's a rich man, which that's a whole nother topic. But
yeah,
he's putting all that and worldly gain. You know, he's got now sitting in the presence, in the seat of the president, and on his third attempt, he has put all that in front of his Catholic faith. And Jesse, by golly, he's going to be judged accordingly. You know, he's going to have that day, and he's what, 78 years old. So he's not a young man. He's already, that's actually 78 is the normal. I mean, that's where people are dying. You know, that, what did they say? The life expectancy,
men, yeah,
life
American expectancy. Men. Yep.
So
he's right there. And I'll tell you, Ruben, God is no respecter of men. Joe Biden, objectively speaking, he's jumping over the trap door of hell. He's banging on the door and saying, let me in by his actions. I'll tell you why. Look at the blasphemy that he was involved in.
Man.
He has signed a record number of executive orders.
Yeah.
I remember they were calling President Trump, he's a dictator. He
right.
signed up, you know, I think four or five executive orders the first week. Biden, the first week, signed 17 executive orders. Mm-hmm. Trump signed 5 executive orders. And they called Trump a dictator for signing 5 in a week. He signed 17 in 1 week, and nobody has said anything.
No, the media is just, they're complicit in this. As are the bishops, you know, as like this priest, Father Orsi, says, any bishop or cardinal or priest who tries to buy into that lie, who gives truth to that lie, is a wolf in shepherd's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and St. John.
Well said.
Yeah, St. John Chrysostom says that the road to hell is paved with the skulls of erring priests and bishops. And this is exactly what he was referring to, is not standing up for your morals, for our Lord. These are children. You know, I know it hasn't been settled, Jess, about whether babies see the full beatific vision. You know, back in the old days.
Yeah, we'll let God settle that question.
Yeah, when you and I were growing up, you know, they always
talked above my pay grade.
They used to talk about, you know, the limbo of the just.
Yeah. Right.
And we would say that, well, the children were going there because they hadn't been baptized. And so I don't think, my personal opinion, you know, I'm just a blue-collar Catholic.
Yeah.
My personal opinion is that they're not suffering because they haven't committed any actual sin, but they, you know, there's different levels.
Yeah,
we've talked
levels.
About this. Different levels of heaven. So they're not going to be able to get into some of those higher levels, and that's a shame. But I still think that we'll be able to see our children that were aborted. And they're going to be there to, you know, hey, you could be able to talk to, why'd you do this to me, Mom? Why'd you do this to me, Dad?
Oh, man.
That's... Oh, well.
Yeah, if mom and dad are even there.
Oh,
Ruben, I'll tell you who warned us about all this.
A good point.
I'll tell you who warned us about this is Pope Benedict XVI. Yeah, years ago, he started talking about what's called the dictatorship of relativism. And what that, he was warning us. He was saying there's going to come a point in time where the government is not going to allow people free speech and even free thoughts. And the government is going to impose their will. I never thought that was going to happen in the United States. I'm saying, he's talking about China. He's talking about, you know, Russia. He's talking about North Korea. He's talking about North Vietnam, Venezuela, Cuba, not the U.S. Ruben, the MyPillow guy just got cut off from, you know, all social media accounts.
Yeah.
President Trump got cut off from. They're not only trying to control our speech. They're trying to intimidate us and control our thoughts by controlling our speech, because now people are going to say, well, I don't want to be canceled. I don't want to be cut out. So I'm not going to say this no more. I'm not even going to think this way no more because I can't express it. And so, yeah, I'm going to walk around society saying 2 + 2 = 5, 2 + 2 = 5, because I want to get along and I want to be on social media. So I'm going to say 2 + 2 = 5. They're trying to not only control our speech, Ruben, they're trying to control our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. You know, I gave kudos to Archbishop Gomez for putting out this letter, and then he was told to retract it. And you know, I think at some point you have to push back on some when the truth is not there. As a archbishop, You know, he's got to take the lead and say, look, you know, this is the truth. This guy is advancing moral evils in the area of abortion, contraception, marriage, gender. And, you know, the number of abortions went down during the last 4 years with the president, the most pro-life president we've ever had. And I'm unfortunately, they're going to go up with this president because he's opening up the floodgates.
Oh, yeah. He signed the Mexico City policy. He repealed it, which basically opens up federal dollars to abortions around the world that we will pay. American federal tax dollars will pay for abortions in Peru, Kenya, Uganda, Costa Rica, Zimbabwe. Go ahead and have an abortion. Send us the bill.
Yeah, that's disgusting. That's an abomination, Jesse, of the faith. And some people are going to have to stand tall, man, on the judgment seat.
That's right. Let me quote a scripture, Ruben, and our blessed Lord Jesus Christ warned us about this. I just flipped open my Bible, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Our Lord says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing or in bishop's garments or priest's garments, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. So our Lord here, Ruben, has warned us again. He's talking to the successors of the apostles here. Mm-hmm. So it will be from, that's where they will come from, because they're the ones that have, authority, the authority of Christ. In the book of Acts chapter 20, here's another one. This one is very clear. St. Luke writes this about the fact that there will be an infiltration within our bishops. Acts chapter 20, verse 26. St. Luke writes, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Notice we're supposed to give people the whole counsel of God, not a half-truth, not a partial gospel, the whole counsel of God. And then he says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you guardians to feed the church of the Lord, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you. The context is apostles. Wolves are going to come in amongst the apostles. And it says to draw away the disciples and sparing no one in the flock. We've been warned, Ruben, and it's here right now. Jesus 911, two-man car. Just remember Ruben Navas talking about an incredible homily that's inspirational. Father Michael Orsi on pro-life and Joe Biden.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. Two-man car, 10-8, open for calls. Jesse, that was an amazing sermon. We have to hear more priests. Maybe, you know, he'll inspire other priests to just, you know, just lay it on the line and do what they're called to do. And you know what's sad, Jess, and they're promoting Biden as a devout Catholic. You know, they didn't like the Amy Coney Barrett version of Catholicism, but they sure like Biden's form of Catholicism. You know, what hypocrites. And there was a photo op on Sunday with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, along with his two grandkids, attending Mass on Sunday.
Wow.
Now, I'm sure they called ahead to tell the priest, you know, they'd be coming due to security reasons sure, but also to make sure that they wouldn't be denied Holy Communion. You know, that's the last thing they want is to have people realize that, oh, he's being denied communion, and for good reason. But Cardinal Wilton Gregory already said he's not going to deny him communion. He's the shepherd of D.C. So, you know, he'll have to answer to God for creating scandal, for allowing sacrilege, as well as allowing Biden to further cement his future in the everlasting fires of hell, provided he doesn't repent.
Yeah, Ruben, that's an example of modernism. The church has been attacked with modernism well over 100 years now. Modernism is that people have lost their supernatural faith, even clergy.
Yes.
In the highest places in the church, they've lost their supernatural faith, and it's just a job now. It's a Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 job. You get a lot of respect, a lot of prestige and popularity, but they've lost their supernatural faith. And I'll tell you why, because the Catholic Church teaches, even in the new code of canon law, canon 915, that Catholics who are obstinately persevering in manifest grave sin are not to be admitted to Holy Communion. Close quote. This was a 2004 memo issued to the U.S. bishops by Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. He later became the Pope, but it was also undersigned by John Paul II. So a Catholic politician who's consistently campaigning and voting for permissive abortion and euthanasia laws and homosexual marriage, this is known as manifest formal cooperation with grave sin and must be denied the Eucharist. And this decision, properly speaking, it's not a sanction or a penalty against Joe Biden or another apostate Catholic. It's medicinal. It's what St. Paul. It's because somebody who receives the Holy Eucharist, which is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, in an unworthy manner, which translates in a state of mortal sin, what they do is they eat and drink judgment upon themselves. And so this is the danger of allowing people that you know that are in manifest opposition to the teachings of the church to receive Holy Communion because they are eating and drinking their death sentence.
That's right, Jess. Luke 2, verse 34-35, it says, "Behold, he is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and as a sign of contradiction, and for your part a sword will pierce your soul so that the thoughts of many hearts may be laid bare." And that's obviously it's addressed to the Blessed Mother, who's the archetype of the church. And you know, we're called, Jesus calls us to be a contradiction to the world. And it's clear, it's, you know, as truth is revealed, you know, the church, the body of Christ has been entrusted with the truth and spreading it throughout, through his grace throughout the world as a sign of contradiction. And we need his church to illuminate, to lighten, to give light to the world, to spread the truth, to also find the way and receive his life. You know, we need his bride in order to meet the ordeals, you know, in international, national, ecclesial, familial, and individual levels. You know, we need the church for that, to be the guiding light, to be the bark of Peter, you know, and, you know, within the this, in the same way, we got to follow his example to the end within the community of his mystical body, the church rooted in the light of his truth. And so, you know, these bishops and cardinals, they have to lead the way. And, you know, this is they're going against the perennial teachings of the church, Jess.
Ruben, and what we're seeing right now are the prophecies of Akita Japan, the prophecies of Our Lady of Good Success, the prophecies of La Salette. They're being played out right in front of us, front and center. And those prophecies from the Mother of God, Our Lady, our Queen Mother, she spoke about that the church would enter into a time where there's going to be doctrinal division and debate, bishop versus bishop, priest versus priest, cardinal versus cardinal. We're seeing this right now, Ruben, played out before our eyes. The Mother of God warned us that the devil would cause such diabolical disorientation to such a point where we have the clergy, again, in opposition of each other, some taking the modernist position and some taking the Orthodox position. When I say Orthodox, I'm not talking about Greek Orthodox or Eastern Orthodox. I'm talking about Orthodox with a small O, which means correct doctrine. The right doctrine, the perennial teachings of the church doctrine. That's what Orthodox with a small O means. And when it comes to the issue of abortion, Ruben, here's where we're at right now. Yourself, myself, we would be considered Orthodox Catholics, Orthodox with a small O, because we're not part of the Eastern Schism. So Orthodox Catholics, we would take the position based on Scripture, based on natural law. We would say abortion is never to be allowed because it's murder, period. Never. Not for rape, not for incense, not for, you know, baby being born with defects. Never should you kill another human being, an innocent human being. Never. Murder. Now, here's the liberal view on abortion. It was held by the Clintons probably 25, 30 years ago. Bill Clinton used the phrase. He says, well, abortion should be safe, rare, and legal. So that was more the left of center view, the liberal view of abortion. The Democrats have abandoned that, Ruben. Mm-hmm. Now they have a leftist view of abortion, which means you have unlimited rights to kill your baby up for all 9 months. You have the right to partial birth abortion, to infanticide. Heck, they're even debating killing a baby even after the baby's born. And so, Ruben, it's impossible, as Father Orsi says, you can't have dialogue with people that hold this position. You're on opposite sides of the spectrums. As Catholics, we can't be duped and thinking like, oh, yeah, you know, we could support Biden for his immigration or environmental policies and just kind of ignore his abortion policies. No, we can't. Because once again, the issue of killing, murdering babies, this is the preeminent issue of our day. It's intrinsically evil. Immigration's not evil. Environmental policies are not evil. That's exactly what they are. They are policy issues which people can discuss and have a different policy viewpoint on how we, you know, how we handle this matter. These are policy issues. Abortion is not a policy issue. It is murder. And we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ if our hands are tainted with this sin and if we have not repented of our sins.
You're absolutely right, Jess. Even the catechism of the Catholic Church teaches since the first century of the church, you know, it's affirmed the moral evil of every procured abortion. The teaching hasn't changed. It remains unchangeable. And direct abortion is to say abortion willed either as an end or a means is gravely contrary to the moral law. 2271 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Ruben, Nancy Pelosi needs to read that because she's on record saying, she says, oh, well, the doctors of the church, they were never clear on when life begins. Mm-hmm. So Nancy Pelosi, Mrs. Theologian, she's never read 2271, obviously, because the answer to her question is right in there.
Yeah, absolutely, Jesse. And, you know, you go all the way back to the early Christians, you know, some of the, look what Saint Basil the Great, Basil. You know, he was familiar with the controversy about, oh, the soul hadn't been, it wasn't part of the you know, the initial contraception, I mean, when the baby's conceived. Yeah. And so that was that little argument. It was, you know, but he said that's hair splitting. The difference between formed and unformed makes no difference to us. Whoever deliberately commits abortion is subject to the penalty for homicide. He said, let her that procures abortion undergo 10 years penance, whether the embryo were perfectly formed or not. And so for Nancy Pelosi to come out and say, you know, that's just not so. She wants to be the spokesperson for the Catholic faith. And you know, I think even in this priest, he mentions it that,
Corleone, pardon me, Archbishop Corleone.
That's right, Archbishop Corleone. You guys did a show on him then.
He said, Nancy Pelosi does not speak for the Catholic Church.
Absolutely. That's what I wanted to say. Yep. So good for him, you know.
Yeah, amen. Ruben, well, I'll tell you what we're going through right now. It's essentially this, and we're going to be fighting this for the next 4 years, maybe longer. Who knows? There's the conflict right now in the culture war that we see in America. Mm-hmm. It's between those of us that have a biblical, God-centered worldview and those that have a secular humanist worldview. That's what it comes down to. And again, the Democrat Party and the socialist policies that they implement, socialism is a governmental system that operates without God. And so if there is no God, then anything is permitted. Any human rights violations and abuses are permitted if there is no God, because our rights don't come from man or don't come from a document. Our rights come from God. This is what our founding documents actually say as Americans. Our rights come from God. That's natural law. So once you abolish the notion of God, like the Democrats, if there is no God, then anything is permitted. And you know, G.K. Chesterton once said, a person who does not believe in God and believes in nothing will inevitably believe in anything. And Reuben, we're called to It's not popular, but we're called as disciples of Jesus Christ to go against the tide, just like salmon swimming upstream.
That's right. You're listening to Jesus 911. We're getting fired up because this is a grave offense. So don't change that dial. We're going to come up. We're going to be talking about a little more about the subject. And Amy Comey Barrett.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. Jesus 911. Hey, Jesse, you know, our priests, our bishops, our cardinals, they need to take what St. Paul says to heart and the way he lived his life. Toward the end of his ministry, he St. Paul gathered the presbyters of the church at Ephesus to say goodbye to them. You can see that, Acts 20:17. But in his address to the apostle to the Gentiles, he recalls how he bore witness for both Jews and Gentiles to repentance and to faith, Acts 20:21. And then significantly, he adds, "I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the entire plan of God." That's verse 27.
That's sacred scripture, sacred tradition.
And with that last comment, St. Paul, you know, obviously he toots his own horn a little bit, but he says he wasn't shrinking violent. He knows it, and he does not want anyone to forget that fact. That what he says here, though, is even more important in reference to the message itself. Boldly, he declares that nothing of God's message has been left out of his preaching. No attempt has been made to edit out what he or others may have construed as the less sanguine parts of God's message. In other words, the good news is not the good news if it's sliced and diced to make it more palatable to those who have need for its wholeness. So we're supposed to be preaching it in season and out of season, Jesse. And
that's right. Yeah. You know, Ruben, I'll tell you, when you look at St. Paul, this man had the spirit of a soldier.
Yes.
This man had the guts of a gladiator. This man had the attitude of an athlete. I mean, this guy, he says the words, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Can you imagine if all our bishops actually believed that and lived that? "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." I don't care if I get thrown in a federal prison under Joe Biden. I'm going to proclaim the truth. Can you imagine if our bishops and cardinals had that type of apostolic zeal? If they looked at and realized that, big deal, what can the government do to me? Throw me in prison, lock me up, put me on death row? If you're a follower of Christ and live in a state of grace, death is a positive option, because you know what? You can't send a Christian who lives in a state of grace, you can't send them anywhere, not even Pelican Bay and the darkest side of a solitary confinement. You can't send somebody who's in a state of grace anywhere where God is not.
That's right. Why do you think cardinals wear red, Jess? Because you know, they're called to martyrdom. They're called to live and die for the faith. So we're gonna be talking about another article here that you know, the left, they said that that Amy Coney Barrett's faith made her radical. Now they say Joe Biden's faith makes him devout. How do you reconcile those two thoughts? It's crazy.
Imagine, Ruben, you could say, "I'm a devout Catholic, but I, you know, break the sixth and ninth commandments every day. I, you know, I'm married, but I've got a girlfriend too. You know, she lives down the street, and I, you know, I got kind of two families, but I'm a devout Catholic." Mm. Come on, I'm married to Anita, but, you know, I got another second family, you know, a couple of miles away. You know, and, you know,
my wife carries a gun, Jess, so she's listening to the show.
That ain't going to happen.
She says she's got one chambered.
Ruben, the article says, here's some of the meat of it. It says, rather than questioning how President Biden's Catholic faith aligns with his indisputably anti-Catholic positions on issues like abortion, the message from the media was clear. His faith is a humanizing badge of honor. His regular church attendance, a sign of consistency worth emulating. If you're surprised by this sort of coverage, it's easy to see why. Just 3 months ago, the same media praising Biden for his devout faith was working feverishly to convince anyone who would listen that Amy Coney Barrett's strict adherence to Catholic teachings made her a radical. Far from making her a more qualified public servant, Coney Barrett's Catholic views were un indictment of her capabilities, weaponized by the same media now worshiping Biden's worshiping. Coney Barrett's statement that her legal career is but a means to an end, and that end is building up the kingdom of God, was held up by the New York Times as an example of her radicalism, with pundits and commentators alike questioning whether a public servant ought to allow their decision-making to be influenced by religion.
Mm.
If you're affluent in the language of the left, what they're saying is this. It's commendable that Joe Biden's political career is swayed by his faith, but it's detestable for Amy Coney Barrett to be swayed by her faith as well. Ruben? Yeah.
But well, going back to JFK, they were questioning, as he was the first Catholic president, they were questioning whether he could make decisions apart from his faith. And unfortunately, he made that famous comment that he's not going to let his Catholic faith dictate his politics. You know, I'm just paraphrasing, but in essence, you know, Amy Coney Barrett is correct. You know, we're Catholics Absolutely. First. We're Catholics and Christians first. And everything else is just what we do, what who we are children of God. You know, baptized into the family of God, you know, fed and strengthened by, you know, his body and blood, soul and divinity and Holy Communion, you know, and given strength to become warriors and soldiers of Christ through our confirmation. That's who we are. You know,
yeah, that's our identity.
We can't say, well, you know, just because you and I were both sheriffs, Jesse, that's not who we are. That's what we did.
That's right.
It's not who we are. Who we are children of God. And we have to, you know, we got to pray for Joe Biden because, you know.
I pray for him every day, be honest with you. It's hard. I get heartburn, yeah. But I say a prayer for his I pray for his conversion every day since he stole the election. And I don't pray for his policies. I don't pray for, you know, that he has a successful presidency in terms of promoting socialism. I pray for the conversion of his heart, that he turns from a life of mortal sin to a life of grace.
Mm.
Because if that happens, that's going to change the way he implements policies, because he'll embrace a culture of life. So Catholics, I know we criticize, but the Bible also says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we're called to pray for our leaders and those in authority. And I also pray, Ruben, every day, I also include President Trump. I pray for his protection, seriously, for his protection. Mm-hmm. And I pray for Joe Biden's conversion of heart to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I also pray every day in my rosary for the conversion of the United States of America, because we're falling into a deep abyss of secular humanism and godlessness. And I also pray for the restoration of the social kingship of Christ, starting with the Catholic Church, our church, Ruben.
Amen. NPR, you know, they ran a story titled How Joe Biden's Faith Shaped His Politics. And far from calling him a radical, NPR alluded to the fact that his speeches are woven with references to God, biblical language, or the Pope, you know, as positive. He couldn't even pronounce the word Psalms, Jesse. He said the palms. You know? That shows you how familiar he is with the scriptures. People who know him well say his Catholic faith is central to how he sees the world, they noted. It goes on to say that if you aren't fluent in the language of the left, what they're saying is this. It's commendable that Joe Biden's political career is swayed by his faith. Yeah. It's detestable for Amy Coney Barrett. And no one made it more clear than Senator Dianne Feinstein during Justice Barrett's confirmation hearing for her appointment to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in 2017. Why is it that so many of us, this is a quote, why is it that so many of us on this side have this very uncomfortable feeling that dogma and law are two different things, she asked. The conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you, Feinstein concluded. And so on that note, Joe Biden's own Vice President Kamala Harris once questioned whether a devout Catholic could serve in government, let alone as a commander-in-chief. In 2018, during a confirmation hearing for judicial nominee Brian Boucher, then Senator Harris questioned how Boucher, a devout Catholic, could judge fairly given his association with the Knights of Columbus, a Roman Catholic service organization. Quote, were you aware that the Knights of Columbus opposed a woman's right to choose when you joined the organization, she asked. Oddly enough, you know, Harris's apparent belief that those who associate with pro-life organizations are unable to serve in government didn't impact her decision to partner with Joe Biden, a member of the Roman Catholic Church, a pro-life organization. So after Joe Biden's first Sunday in office, the message of the left and the legacy media as a whole is clear. Devout faith in a leader is to be celebrated as long as that leader is with us.
Wow. Ruben, yeah. I'm just wondering, I think after the first week, those that were on the fence on Biden, they're saying, I'm going to give him a try. I think people are having buyer's regret right now. I think they're having heartburn. I think the Tums is flying off the shelf in a lot of pharmacies right now.
Yeah, you're right. Just and it's just started. It just began. I mean, we're not even what
we're a week into his presidency. And
amazing.
This guy, he's no longer a liberal, Ruben. That no longer applies to him. He's a leftist now, which makes him dangerous. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, a lot of people are just going to, cave in and just say, okay, hey, well, this is the direction of our country. We got to follow the direction of our socialist country. Which reminds me of the words of C.S. Lewis. He says, when the whole world is running towards a cliff, he who is running in the opposite direction appears to have lost his mind. Mm. And so I'm telling you, as Catholics, we should be running in the opposite direction of the culture of death as perpetrated by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to be here that long. Do not be afraid. Just have faith. And it doesn't matter if you're by yourself in an island somewhere off the coast of Turkey or something. You're not alone. Jesus is always with us. Our Lady is always with us. Our guardian angel is always with us. The Bible says we're surrounded literally by a cloud of witnesses, saints and angels. Though you think you are alone, you are not. The Lord and our Lady and our guardian angel are always with us everywhere we go. And so how can we renew the church and renew our culture? It starts with every one of us. The Catechism says in paragraph 828, it says essentially, become a saint. Mm-hmm. That's how you change the church. You become a saint and you start changing everybody around you and your family.
That's right.
As the Catechism says in 828, in every age, saints have always been the source and origin of renewal in the most difficult moments in church history.
Yeah, that's right, Jesse. It just like Jesse said, you know, you bring one or two people with you. 50% of Catholics voted for Biden, so his brand is out there. They're sitting next to you in the pews.
Yes.
So you've got to show them through your life, through your example, what true Catholicism is. You know, we don't have to get in their face, but we have to show them this is how we live our life. We're following the tenets of our faith. Pray that rosary. Double up that rosary. We got to pray it. St. Michael, come to our aid. Yeah. And, be a witness to the gospel. You've been listening to Jesus 911. We are glad to have been with you. If you like us, hit the like button and share it. And stay tuned for Hands On Apologetics with Gary Mishuda. We are 10-7. We are out.
Out.
Time for a cup of coffee.